525,600 minutes. 525,000 moments, oh dear. 525,600 minutes. How do you measure a year? In daylights, in sunsets, in midnights, in cups of coffee, in inches, in miles, in laughter, in strife. In 525,600 minutes, how do you measure a year in the life? How about love? How about love? How about love? Measuring love.
The Pine Valley Podcast. After 72 years, we say goodbye to Guiding Light, a show which gave us so very many seasons of love.
Come in, Tilly. Tilly, hello, Tilly. Hey, that's what I kept thinking about. I went over to go, hello, Greenlee. Come in, Greenlee. Greenlee, over.
And I love it when Erica says to Jackson, why don't we just go upstairs to my room and just talk? You know, you can sleep in the spare bedroom if you like, or I can tie you up and tickle your balls with a feather. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And then Addie should have popped up and hide under the coffee table and go,
hi, Ryan. It's me, Greenlee. Go back, Twin.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson. Cameron Matheson, who should have gone into the executive producer and writers and said, look, my fiance just died, and I don't think I should be wearing my thong at a moment like this.
At least not the one with the rhinestones. Come on, people. And he's way prettier than me. And much nicer.
And at this point, she's even acting better than me.
Welcome to the Pine Valley Podcast. I am your host, Ashley Mendoza.
And I'm your co-host, Jordan Hudson.
And this is the Pine Valley Podcast for a very sad week ending April 3rd, 2009.
Yes.
I feel like I'm going to cry.
I'm not going to cry.
And I'm not going to cry because of our horrible singing.
I am going to cry. Ashley is going to bear with me for a second because I'm a little bit, no, I'm a lot upset. I'm very upset. For those of you who don't know, who are living under a rock and have not looked at Daytime Confidential or read any other soap, you know, blogs or magazines
or
turned on the news or read your newspaper, Guiding Light, which is the granddaddy of the soaps, and not only the granddaddy of soap operas, but the longest running program in the history of TV, like not even Gunsmoke or The Simpsons. I mean, this show has been on for 72 years, and it has, you know, started out in radio, went to TV, and it survived the different changes of formats. CBS has opted to cancel Guiding Light. And as far as I'm concerned, for me, April 1st was the beginning of the end for daytime drama as we know it. The networks have obviously made it clear that they really don't see these shows being on the air. And this is just the beginning. I mean, this is the ball rolling. I'm going to quickly read from the New York Post. Michael Starr wrote, Guiding Light to go dark at 72. Legendary soap Guiding Light will fade to black in September, ending the most enduring series in radio and TV history. The final episode will air on Friday, September 18th, 72 years after Guiding Light debuted as a radio serial, 5 days after FDR was sworn in for his second term. The granddaddy of soap operas moved to TV in 1952 and boasts James Earl Jones, Kevin Bacon, Cecily Tyson, Ruby Dee, Mira Sorvino, Taye Diggs, Calista Flockhart, and hero star Hayden Panettiere, among many of his notable alums. This is a show with such heart. that really focused on relationships and was really character-driven, said Lynn Leahy, editor of Soap Opera Digest. You grew up with these characters and you watched them grow. The cancellation of Guiding Light hammers yet another nail in the coffin of daytime soaps. Mm-hmm. An endangered species that has seen Passions, Another World, Santa Barbara, and Sunset Beach bite the dust in recent years. Mm-hmm. Guiding Light began life in 1937 as a 15-minute radio serial before switching to a 15-minute soap on CBS TV in 1952 while airing simultaneously on radio until 1956. The series moved to a 30-minute format in 1968 and expanded to an hour in 1977. No show in daytime or primetime or any time has touched so many millions of viewers across so many years, CBS daytime executive Barbara Bloom said yesterday, you hypocrite Barbara Bloom, when you're the one that canceled the show. I'm just going to say this. I mean, Kim Zimmer in Carol Hensley's Daily News article said today, you know, that she was sad. She was upset. And she said, you know, and she made an interesting comment. She said, well, you know, when you as an actor choose to leave a show, it's different because you're choosing to leave a show and you know that this show is going to last and keep continuing, always going to be there. And this is not. And this is not going to be there anymore. And she's right. You know, I mean, and maybe it's silly of me that I care so much about a TV show. But the difference between nighttime shows and daytime shows is that with nighttime shows, they're created with a beginning and a middle and an end. You know that eventually they're going to come to an end, whatever.
Episodes tops.
Boston Legal. I was upset when Boston Legal ended. I was saying goodbye, but there was some closure there. Soaps don't have closure. They're supposed to go on. We grow up with these characters.
At least the American
soaps do. Yeah, we grow up with these characters.
That's what makes them
unique. And just like Kim Zimmer said, sometimes you get upset with your soap. Sometimes you get bored with it. You go away, but you can always come back to it. And, you know, there's no coming back. Guiding Light's gone. And I honestly really thought the CBS was going to renew it for a year. I really did. I thought, you know, Ellen Wheeler and her team did a great job of turning the show around and making it watchable again and making it interesting. And if any show should have gotten the axe, it should have been As World Turns, which got another year. And for those of you who don't know, As World Turns was basically canceled too. CBS renewed it for a year, but told them point blank, that's all you're getting is one more year. They already told As World Turns, there is no more renewal. This is it. So in a way, two shows have been canceled, you know, because As World Turns is on notice that they only have one more year. So that leaves CBS with just Young and the Restless and Bold and the Beautiful, which is an hour show and a half hour. Days of Our Lives is constantly, NBC is always threatening to cancel it. That's their only soap opera.
It's not very good though right now, is it?
You know, for me, I was a big fan of Days back in the old days when it was a respectable soap. I never got into it when it got into the whole, you know, Marlena being possessed by the devil and all the super couples. My Days of Our Lives will always be Susan Seaforth Hayes and Bill Hayes. I can't, you know, I don't relate to
those. Are those writers or characters?
No, those are characters. They were one of the first super couples on daytime TV, Doug and Julie on Days of Our Lives. They were on the cover of Time magazine.
Oh, and, wow.
Yeah, it was a big deal. Time magazine put them on the cover. And, like, I love Doug and Julie.
Did Greg and Jenny ever get on the cover of Time magazine?
No, not Time magazine. But Greg and Jenny got on the cover of TV Guide with Susan Lucci. There was a hot TV Guide cover with the three of them.
Right.
So,
that's right.
I mean, and this Guiding Light cancellation is upsetting because this
I wonder if the Guiding Light cancellation will make the cover of TV Guide.
I don't know. Maybe. I'm in shock still.
I'm really upset because I was telling you before, Jordan, that what's so upsetting is that these a-holes, in some of them in daytime, and not all of them are a-holes, but some of them, we know who they are, the bad writers and the bad EPs and the bad heads of daytime, are making some really crappy plot decisions. And I feel like Guiding Light, based on what you've told me and share with me and what, you know, some of our listeners like Norn, who has shared the incredible Otalia clips, you shared with me some of the clips. I feel like Guiding Light was doing everything right.
Yeah.
Really doing everything right. And this is how they get rewarded. So it feels like to me, it reinforces that bad writing should and stunts should continue and good writing is going to go the way of Guiding Light. That's so sad to me.
I mean, I don't know what they think. I mean, I understand the logistics of it. It's a money issue. It comes down to these shows are very expensive. But, you know, I honestly am sick of reality shows. I'm sick of boring talk shows that don't really say anything of importance because, you know, my problem is with talk shows. One of the reasons I love Chelsea lately so much is because she's not afraid like we, to say what we think and what we feel. And,
we identify with Chelsea Handler.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and her show is about that. Everybody just comments and criticizes because we're living in a world that's so politically correct that everybody's afraid to speak their mind because, God forbid, you say something bad about President Bush, all of a sudden people are burning your CDs and stuff. So in this country where you can't even speak your mind, I don't want to see shows, talk shows, where everybody's just placating to these executives and people aren't calling. I would love to have a show where we're interviewing these executives and interviewing people like Julie Crapothers and what's that idiot writer, Chuck Prathole, and actually call them on their bullshit. I would love to interview them. Even Soap Opera Weekly, I mean, I miss Mimi Torchin because she spoke her mind when she was the editor of that magazine. These soap magazines now, they placate. They stay on the middle of the road. They don't want to offend anybody because then they're not going to get an interview with a soap star or something. It's like, you know what? If you can't handle people being critical and criticizing and giving constructive criticism, then you shouldn't be in the arts because that's what art is about.
The shows aren't even written that way anymore. We talked a lot about how, you know, particularly I watch All My Children and I watch One Life to Live. So those are the two shows that I know. But like, you know, how you see on All My Children, there's never a bad parent. Parents are always perfect and good. Whereas on One Life to Live, you have bad parents, you have bad kids, you have dorky kids, you know what I mean? Like, I just feel like the whole genre has really been whitewashed, you know, for lack of a better word.
It's amazing to me. Like, I'll be honest with you. I mean, As the World Turns has never been as dear to my heart as Guiding Light has been. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, right now, As the World Turns is so horrible. I mean, the writing is just a step above All My Children's writing. I mean, it's so fractured. It's so discombobulated. I mean, the characters act so out of character.
Tell them about the storyline you would tell me about
oh my God.
Asexual
twins. They introduced these twins.
Omnisexual
twins.
What does that mean?
I don't know. It means I'm a omni anybody that's sexual. I don't know. I never understood. Like, they're these twins.
But who called them that?
No, I nicknamed that because I'm trying to figure them out because they're a brother and sister that are twins, right? And yet they're on top of each other, holding on to each other and rubbing each other's noses and almost basically kind of kissing. And I guess that's offensive to me. I guess. Wait.
Can I tell you something?
What?
You know I'm a twin.
Oh, you are?
You know I'm a twin.
I didn't know that.
Yes, you did know I'm
really?
A twin.
Really? I know you had a brother.
You didn't know I was a twin? Are you freaking kidding me?
No, I'm serious. I didn't know you were a twin.
He's blowing my mind right now.
You mean there's another one? Are you out there?
There's another one of me. A boy.
Oh my God. Well, that's like, I guess the two of you would be like Zach and Zoe.
That is so freaking revolting to me. And my mother's a twin. She's an identical twin. I'm a fraternal twin.
Well, I gotta say this. If they're trying to jump on the bandwagon of like trying to snap on Angelina and her brother for kissing all those years ago. No, I didn't know that.
Did you not know that?
I didn't know that. Look, if they're trying to jump on the bandwagon of like Angelina and her brother kissing at the Golden Globes like 50 years ago, that's old news. I mean, these kids, come on. Their characters were so obnoxious. There wasn't anything cool or they were obnoxious. I mean, and the two actors, I mean, I'm not knocking you guys. Like, you guys seem like decent enough actors, but I think you play what was written, and what was written was very badly written, and it was the most obnoxious. Like, I did not want to see these characters on screen at all. I'd rather have tuned into Kobe. That's how bad they were. And so, like, you know, and then, I mean, looking at As the World Turns, going, oh God, this show is so annoying me right now. And yet my Guiding Light, which I'm living for, is gone.
We got till September 18th with Guiding Light.
I mean, from what I heard,
that's Proctor, not bad. That's good.
Well,
don't
no,
you think?
Well,
the summer Proctor, and a little
into
the fall?
Yeah, I mean, we'll get to say goodbye, hopefully. But Procter & Gamble is trying to push to the other networks to sell both As the World Turns and Guiding Light as a pair. And what's frustrating me is that SoapNet turned them down, which amazes me. I understand, again, the logistics of the pricing and stuff, but you know what? Nobody's looking at an alternative. What about cutting the shows down back to a half an hour? I'd rather have a half hour Guiding Light than no Guiding Light. You know what I'm saying? And it's cost effective. You're cutting corners that way, but you still keep the show on the air. But look, Brian Franz, SoapNet, turned it down, and you're going to tell me that
SoapNet does not want to air soaps.
I know,
that's
but that's
truth,
what I'm saying.
People.
Like, you're going to tell me that Guiding Light and As the World Turns won't bring higher ratings than on a rerun of Beverly Hills 90210 from, like, 1990 for the 18th millionth time?
That's not the point.
I mean, they
that's
show 90210 80 times a day.
They don't have to pay to make
90210.
They're lazy-ass
mother. But they would get higher ratings if they put on As the World Turns and Guiding Light.
I don't know that that's true.
I know NBC won't pick it up because NBC's been trying to unload Days of Our Lives, let alone they unload all their other soap operas. ABC has no room in their schedule.
And these actors
and
aren't going to want to do webisodes.
I wish that Fox and CW would be interested in picking up, but I know they won't either
because
because
that'd be so interesting, wouldn't it?
Well, I always wonder why Fox and CW didn't try to like get at least really one soap going.
Yeah.
You know, because again, I refuse to believe that a soap opera will not bring in bigger ratings for you on your network than these horrible shows. Because do you watch any of these shows that are on during the day? Like these different talk shows and
they
stuff?
They want to bring back the $25,000 pyramid. Oh, yeah.
Like,
study,
like that's so what I need, a $25,000 period. I'm... the 20, that's my version of the show. The $25,000 period. It's all about people going through their menstruation.
I thought that's what happened to Adney when she was little. Remember what? When she pulled out her bloody hand? She got her period.
That's nasty.
I'm like, why are you freaking out? You just got your period.
That is vile.
That's not vile. It's a fact of life.
That's so gross.
Wasn't there a movie where that happened? Where the person... Oh, yeah. It was Carrie.
Carrie
got her period and her mother... freaked out on her because she's on her period.
I don't know. I'm got viewers. I'm sorry if I sound a little bit dumb, but I'm very hurt this week. This you don't understand. I mean, these shows.
It's a sad week, Jordan.
These shows hurt me. I mean, you know, I'm looking at all my children and
everybody. And you know, I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you, but it doesn't matter whether or not you watch Guiding Light, whether you watch just All My Children, whether you watch all the shows or just one of the shows. It doesn't matter. This affects everybody. This affects all of us. And that's why we're spending so much time talking about it. Because it's a very sad day. Like Jordan said, it's a very dark day for daytime.
It is. It is a very dark day. I mean, I look at all my children and I, you know, and these executives, you know, I was telling Ashley when we were coming over here, like, I'm beginning to wonder if Brian Franz really is coming aboard to destroy daytime for ABC or if he's just an idiot who is unaware of, like, what the viewers want from a show. Because he supposedly made a play to try to get some of the Guiding Light stars on the ABC shows. And his boss, some woman, I forgot her name, she put the kibosh on that. She was like, she put a freeze on that. And supposedly she said, I want to see storylines, ideas, characters, and stuff like that before. And I agree with her to an extent. I agree that if you're going to be bringing somebody on, you got to have a reason for bringing them on.
This is Brian Franz. Oh my God, I have the greatest idea. Let's go to Guiding Light and let's pull some of their biggies and we'll put them on All My Children. It'll be fabulous, fabulous.
Yeah, but if you don't have a storyline...
He's a freaking idiot! He's so entranced by the sounds of his own voice. And yes, I mean you, Brian Franz. I don't care if you're my Facebook friend or not. He's not my Facebook friend.
He's not your Facebook friend.
I wish he was. I'd give him what for?
Well, like, see, this is the thing. He supposedly, like, wanted to do this. And, like, so then I think maybe he really does want to try. But the thing
no,
is,
he's an idiot.
He's unaware. Because if you were aware, you would realize that
how bad All My Children is?
Yes. What you need to do to save All My Children right now is get a good writer like Claire LeBlanc, like Lorraine Broderick.
No.
Like Donna Swijewski.
More than that.
Like, instead of trying to get the Guiding Light actors, get the Guiding Light writers.
Clean house. Julie Hannon Crap Brothers gone once and for all. I would be there with my bugle blaring. I would be
well, you
so
know what?
Happy.
There was a time.
She's got to be gone. The
I agree with you.
The whole writing team has got to be gone.
There was a time where I really wanted Christopher Gautman to be the executive producer.
I would even say that some of the directors need to go.
Oh, I'll agree with that. There was a time where I wanted...
they're challenging these actors to make good decisions. I'm sorry, but on One Life to Live, from what we understand, you know, the directors work closely with the actors.
And the executive producer works closely with the actors.
Oh, Mr.
Frank Valenti Hudson, my future husband. Whatever.
Yes.
Frank
Valentini Hudson.
I hear that he very micromanages, but you know what? It's good that he micromanages because his show looks good.
His show looks amazing.
And the thing is, like, I wanted Christopher Gautman to be the executive producer of My Children. Now I don't want him because what he did to As the World Turns in the last year, oh, no.
Isn't he the one that talked about, though? I thought you told
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah,
that
but, you know,
the
he was
network
a,
time.
He was, a,
and, you know,
he was a director at All My Children
for many...
That you
can try anything because you have the luxury of time. You can do anything you want.
No, he didn't said, say he that? Said he, what he said was he feels that the future soaps is to cut it down to 3 days a week.
Screw him.
But he,
F him.
He was a director for All My Children for many, 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 many years during All My Children's heyday.
Was he any good?
And he knew, no, he's a good director. He knew the show in and out. And he actually, I think he was a little bit offended that ABC didn't offer him the position. And then, you know where he went?
What position?
Executive producer. Because he had been in the business. So he started out as an actor. Look, I got to tell you, I have a respect for Chris Gautman. Chris Gautman started off as an actor in Search for Tomorrow and then went on to direct soap operas. And he directed All My Children, Another World, many, many, many. And then, you know, the next evolution to go from director, because Frank Valentini was a director at One Night to Live. Mm. But, you know, at first he was an assistant to Paul Rauch, the executive producer. the next position is you know, you're in this business, you keep growing. So the next position would be executive producer. ABC did not offer him the All My Children executive position. Another World did, but Procter & Gamble. So he left.
See what I
and
mean?
And maybe if they would have offered him, All My Children would have been in a better state than it is now,
how
instead of Julie Crap Others.
We are not even in the industry and we know this crap. You know what I mean? Like, we're just observing it. And it's not like we're the only ones saying it. Daytime Confidential is saying it. All the bloggers are saying it. We all see the crap that they're throwing against the wall. I see it trickle down. I smell it. It stinks to high heaven.
Well,
and they continue to make dumbass, stupid decisions.
Well, what?
Oh, and I forgot.
Why?
You do have to get rid of my Facebook friend, Judy Blythe Wilson.
Why?
You got to clean house. She
oh,
go
yeah.
Too.
No.
She got to go too. Sorry, Judy Blythe. I know you're my Facebook friend. She's probably going to defriend me now.
They should get the casting director from Guiding Light.
Who's that?
I don't know. I forgot his name. Some guy, but he's...
Oh, Rob DeSima.
Yeah, but he's cast, like, all those great people on Guiding Light. And matter of fact, he realized all the good people that were on All My Children and cast them on Guiding Light.
Oh,
like,
yeah?
Jeff Branson.
Oh, yeah.
That's what kills me.
Yeah, like, hire
that's
him.
What kills me. But what's his name? Brian Franz gets rid of Jeff Branson and All My Children. So Jeff Branson goes to Guiding Light, and now he wants Jeff Branson back out of the ABC soap. You're an idiot, Brian Franz.
You think he wants him back?
Yes, supposedly that was one of the people that he got to deal with. He wants him. He wants Gina Tognani. He wants the two lesbians. Like if they could do a good job with them. They're not lesbians in real life. They're Otalia on Guiding Light.
Otalia would be a disaster on All My Children.
Yeah, because they wouldn't know. Because they wouldn't know how to write
even
it.
Even just from the clips, what I'm seeing brought me to tears. The one scene where, which one was at the hospital in the bed?
Oh, that's Olivia.
Olivia was in the bed. Chappelle. And Natalia was so concerned about her because she was like out. She was like out like a light. And she strokes her head and she touches her cheek and she goes to kiss her. And my heart broke. And then she realized, then the woman, that Olivia was waking up. So Natalia, you know, kind of jumped back. I was like, hey, what's up? Hey, how you doing? Good to see ya. But it's still, I loved it. It broke my heart.
I love her. You know what? She's Puerto
loved
Rican,
it.
I think.
Really?
She's definitely Latin. I think she's Puerto Rican.
She's
and
very
I love
pretty.
Her.
She's very
I
pretty.
Love her.
I love the whole story.
It's like
you know what it is, because at the core of it, it's a beautiful friendship.
Yes. Well, that's the thing. It's like,
and that's so beautiful.
The reason they fell in love was because they got to know each other. They become friends, and they've been in each other's lives, and they created
a
family.
The story
and it developed, and it's
beautifully.
It's not about like, oh, I'm a lesbian. It's about I've fallen in love with this person, and it's a beautiful
and
story.
It's not issues, and it's not my mom hates lesbians, so. So I grew up really ashamed. Not that there's anything wrong with that story.
I am a little tired.
I think the audiences now are more sophisticated that we can accept a lesbian storyline that doesn't have to be laden
with issues. I mean, because you know what?
Do you like that word, laden?
Yeah. I like when you use your 10-cent word.
I love it.
I agree with you. I mean, I want a good storyline. I just feel like... I don't know. I mean, I'll tell you guys right now, All My Children this week left me with a bad taste in my mouth. It started out bad. And I mean, should we start now with that recap? We got to start with David and Crystal, because that's the storyline that has me disgusted.
It had to go that
disgusted.
Way in some ways, don't you think?
No.
All right.
No, it's disgusting. And I'll tell you why, because at the end of the week,
they were making love.
No, 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 no. I'm talking about Friday's episode.
Sorry, I didn't give a scream.
Friday's episode showed me what the storyline could have been if writers had really written a real storyline. You know what the problem with Chuck Pratt is?
He's dumb.
No.
He's stupid.
This is
he's an a-hole.
Look, Brian Franz hires people because he thinks they're a name, they're this and that. Like, Brian Franz, like, oh, he worked on Melrose Place in Santa Barbara. He didn't look to see that Chuck Pratt wrote on those shows when those shows were going downhill creatively.
He doesn't care. He doesn't care.
Look, Chuck Pratt.
He hears a name and he's all, that's it. We just hit on it.
He hears a name
and he hears an affiliation and he's like, oh, we've got to get them now, quick. He doesn't look at substance. He doesn't look at what they've actually accomplished or done. He's stupid.
Well, look, Chuck Pratt. He writes sensationalistic storylines. Everything is like this. It's over the top.
It's beyond campy. Plot.
There's no substance to it. And that's the problem with his writing.
It's crap.
If there's no heart to it. No pun intended. Kendall and her son. I get it. No heart to it.
I get it.
All right. Let's start with David.
Do I have to?
Yes.
Gosh darn it. Why can't I talk about Erica's outfits?
Start with David and Eric.
I love Erica's outfit. She's been looking so good. You're eating my Back to Nature cookies.
I know. I'm having a cookie. Talk about David and Crystal. I want to start with that. Because that was, everybody was blogging about it this week like nobody's business. Because everybody was
disgusted as we were. But I wasn't as disgusted by it.
I was.
I was slightly amused. And not because a woman got hurt, but because it was so stupid. I was like,
I was appalled.
All right, listen. So hard, people. It's really hard. Oh, I got to tell you, a little bit of my viewing got interrupted this week by our president.
And did you go to SoapNet?
No. No. SoapNet, it wasn't working either. I couldn't. Mm-hmm. It wasn't working. So I couldn't do it either. I couldn't, you know. Mm-hmm. I was, oh, darn. I missed 20 minutes of all my children. Mm-hmm. Darn it. Mm-hmm. Listen, I don't fast forward, people. And besides, our president is very important.
She's already blaming it on the president.
Our president is very important. Unless he preempts One Life to Live, then I'm a little pissed. Which he did. 45 minutes into One Life to Live.
Yeah. Do you know what, though?
What?
CBS didn't preempt As the World Turns.
They should have.
They didn't. They did that little thing where it went, doot, 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 and the show kept playing, and then they put a little caption underneath. And I'm thinking, I watched As the World Turns first, and I'm thinking, oh, it's not going to interrupt my ABC soaps then. And I forgot, ABC interrupts for everything. Though I will say that Friday they had a real good reason to interrupt, and my heart goes out to everybody in Binghamton right now. Let's say a prayer for everybody out there.
New York, they got some crazies up at
the... Yeah, this man out there. So, you know, for those of you, any of our listeners are out there in Binghamton, our hearts are with you and your family.
Wasn't it the immigration or something?
Yeah. Yeah, so, I could understand interrupting. That's news.
And can I tell you something? They only interrupted for like 4 minutes. It wasn't very long. Yeah. For Mr. Obama speaking in London or in wherever he is and across the water.
Hello!
It was like 15.
That's the queen mom. Hello!
He gave her an iPod.
He gave her an iPod? Like, she knows what to do with an iPod. She's with like 109.
Musicals. That's what's nice about it. Yo, man, that queen, she be living large. I saw PBS, her palace. That thing is like 82,000 million billion square feet, I swear to God. And those people, there's like 8 trillion people work in the palace, I swear. And they like...
These cookies are addictive.
All right, fine. I want to go to England.
I love Brits.
You know, I know you do.
Some of the best sex I had has been with Brits.
Oh, my God. Listen, you know things are bad when we find any excuse to not talk about David and Crystal.
All right, let's go.
I will start. All right, listen. I had to start a little bit because we sort of started in some ways in the Martin household with Amanda and Jake preparing her for adoption, taking pictures of her belly bump. Now, I'm going to tell you something.
What?
You know, people, I love me some Chrishell Stouse. But she's not as good as a lot of the actresses on daytime. She's not pulling off the storyline for me. She misses up a little bit when she... Why are you looking at me like that? The viewers can't hear your hand waving me off. Ah, he's waving me off again.
It's a shitty storyline. What do you want her to do?
She's not that... She, but a more talented actress could probably play with it.
No, you know what? I'm going to say this right now. You are being way... No, you are... I spit your...
The classic creme cookie on me.
Look, you are being too harsh on these actors.
Me?
No, my heart is going out to a couple of them right now. Because the writing that's on the show right now and the way these characters are reacting, you know what? You could say what you want about Stacey on One Life to Live. Oh. But the thing I love about One Life to Live is that when Stacey came up with this crazy idea,
what's
the first thing Gigi said? You're crazy! Gigi rammed her. And then this week, Brody went off on her too. You're insane. Do you know how insane you sound? See, on All My Children, these people act this way and nobody calls them on their bullshit.
That's true.
I understand that Amanda's between a rock and a hard place. But you're letting Jake befriend you and take care of you after the way he treated you. I'm sorry. I can't get behind this storyline. I don't know how, as an actress, she's supposed to verify it and validate it. The man disrespect. First of all, he dumped her. Then he calls her a whore and a slut because he didn't get the woman that he wanted, which that still doesn't make sense to me. And now all of a sudden, he's trying to be the Mr. Nice Guy, and she's allowing it.
I have a question.
What?
Do you still think the actor that plays Petey is straight?
Wait, I don't like calling anybody out on their sexuality.
Hold on a second. Did you see that little French sailor outfit he wore this week?
I'm going to say this. Where are they getting their clothes from?
Flitting about.
Where are they getting their clothes from?
New York and Company.
Okay.
No, he doesn't get his clothes from there.
Oh, it's only the women?
It's only women.
Okay. Because I don't know what they're doing in the department, but I don't know, but have you noticed that all the guys on All My Children, it looks like the 70s because all their pants are super, super tight. Like, everybody's pants on All My Children. Jacob Young, not that I mind, because Jacob's young butt looked bodacious in those pants he had on early in the week. But I was noticing everybody was looking a little bit tight.
He had a cheesy Gucci belt on.
Did you see everybody's pants Gucci were belt? Tight. Ryan's pants were tight. And little Petey's pants were tight. Little Petey looked like he might not be that little.
Please.
I don't know. My eyes saw something a popping.
He was horrible. You got to admit.
But this is what I'm talking about. How can you rag them as actors when they get such material that's so shitty and trite?
No, because he's acting a little over the top.
That scene where he told Jake. Oh, when he overhears Jake and Amanda talking, he assumes that Amanda's like pregnant and she's gonna look on a dating service.
He goes like this. He goes, Amanda is with child. She's totally with child. I will marry her.
I mean, that's stupid.
Dumb. But you know what? As an actor, he didn't have to be so over the top. I mean, the whole storyline is so dumb.
That's the only way you can play that, Ashley. I mean, if I was him and I was looking at, I was like, I would go to the director and go, you got to be kidding me. This character.
He's like 10 years old. He's not going to do that.
His character cannot be that stupid.
Clearly he is.
He wants to marry her.
I know. So stupid.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's like 1952. I swear to God, isn't it?
I don't even know what year because I can't. I heard that. All right,
so fine. JR, it was so dumb. It was so dumb.
I think what they wanted, they were trying to be a little bit funny. And it just wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't.
They are not funny.
It just makes Petey look stupid.
Brian Franz looked at that and went, oh my God, it's hysterical. Ah, Petey Cortland.
I think even the Brady Bunch writers would have rejected it. That's how stupid it was.
Thank you. It was very Brady Bunch.
It was very Brady Bunch.
Oh, my nose! I was waiting for the laugh track. I really was.
Marsha.
Thank you.
I love the Brady Bunch.
All right, so then JR and Tad walk in, and they're all fighting about the whole hearing and all that nonsense. And we kind of go back and forth between Angie and Jesse's house, because at this point we know that Angie and Jesse have temporary custody of Lil A.
You know what that reminded me of?
What?
It's like All My Children's doing the reverse Webster.
Oh my God.
I think that should be the new storyline. I think that Angie and Jesse should get custody of Little A, and it should be like Webster.
No, but Webster didn't really have a mommy.
No, but Webster was this little black boy that was being raised by two white people.
But I thought she wasn't part of the family. I thought she was his girlfriend, woman in Webster.
No, they were husband and wife. They were raising the little black boy.
Sure?
Yes. Right, I think that'd be great.
Oh no.
The reverse of Webster. It could be a little comedy show, Little A.
Well, what I did like about it.
What?
There was one scene I liked all week that I thought was, actually two. One of them was beautiful. When Angie said that she put Little A to bed and she felt so sad because he looked at her like Frankie looked at her when he, you know, was missing his daddy, when he thought his daddy was dead. It was like a 5-minute scene, not even like a 3-minute scene, and both of them played it beautifully.
It was a beautiful moment. That's all I could tell you. It was a beautiful moment.
Why can't we get more beautiful moments? Gosh,
actually, the writer should be giving us 40 something minutes of moments.
38. My DVR says 38.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what? It feels like 3 hours and a half. You know what? I gotta tell you that I've been annoyed by that. I watch One Night to Live, and I feel like One Night to Live flies by. And All My Children, I feel like it's Chinese water torture. I swear. I'm like, has it not been an hour?
Did you get that, listeners? We hate All My Children. And we love One Night to Live. We love it.
No, I'm being serious. I look at my clock, and I'm like, God, All My Children still isn't finished.
I'm just like, oh God. There are some times when I watch and I nod off and I don't rewind.
There are times
I don't fast forward.
There are times where I pause and I walk away and I have to watch it in increments because I can't sit through the whole thing.
You know, here's the thing. I could let my DVR Like, what? I could, when I have to go to the bathroom if I'm watching the show, I could just go through in the commercial, let the commercial run. But I fast forward all the commercials, and then when the show's back on, then I go to the bathroom. It's true.
I was doing my socks, putting my socks together the other day when I was watching Thursday's episode.
So, all right, fine. So then, in the meantime, in the beginning of the week, David is pissed off. He leaves the hearing furious, and he comes home, and he says some crap about, you know, Little A would be better to Crystal. Little A would be better with me. And Crystal says, me? Don't you mean us?
Duh, Crystal.
And he don't say nothing. And she puts two and two together. And she says, you know, I think Little A is better off where he is. He shouldn't be with you at all. What else did he say?
I don't know. She kept going on in that. Like, she says some more things about that.
She says some more stuff, and then she pushes it.
Not when you're acting this way and blah, 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 blah.
I didn't believe it.
And then go ahead. Tell them what happened.
And then all of a sudden, David grabs her and says, how dare you have... Oh, that's my Jesse voice.
Oh.
How you do a better David than me.
Oh, I can't do David. I'm not...
How dare you? How dare you talk about my grandson like that? How dare you? And he jokes... He chokes her. Sort of.
And I found that very offensive. In light of what happened with Natasha Richardson, I find it very, like, disgusting.
Well, what's worse, what Jordan is referring to, is that, again, Crystal falls on a piano bench and hits herself in the face and knocks herself out.
But did you notice that it was a very hard hit? It wasn't like, the thing that irks me is that this is, again, how the writers write these things and they have no consideration. This is the second hit that she's had. In less than, like, what, 24, 40 hours?
Yes, I believe Shadow pointed that out on our blog.
And there's no medical repercussions for this?
Nothing.
And in light of what's going on, you know, what happened with a real-life person, an actress that we know that, you know what I mean? Like, I just...
Unfortunately, they wouldn't have known that.
But at the same time,
what should have happened, which I hate the whole storyline to begin with, but what should have happened is, because David obviously released Crystal way too early, she should have had repercussions from that.
Yeah.
And that should have been a little bit of a... you know, signal to her that she's not in a good place. But Crystal, as we've said, every week we come on the show, people, and we talk to you about how the character of Crystal has been obliterated. I don't know who this person is. We got to make up a new name.
Obliterated.
Obliterated. What should we name her? Susan?
Yes.
I swear to God.
Like that Whitney Houston song, my name's not Susan. Let's call her Susan.
We'll call her Susan.
We're calling her Susan.
We're going to call her Susan.
From now on, Crystal is Susan.
Because we don't know who
the hell she is.
Who the hell she is and who took Crystal?
Susan. So Susan.
So Susan.
Susan. I love this.
Susan falls and then wakes up and then decides the best place to go after she gets her head injury, after her man practically beats her, is to Confusion. She also decides that she doesn't need to apply any cover-up or foundation to said bruise, and that when she gets to the bar, that she should pull out her mirror 8 times to indicate that she's looking to see if the bruise has grown. Stupid! And then who does she run into?
Tad and Opal see Susan, and of course, Tad goes over there and confronts Susan. Susan tells what happens, but she didn't go into detail like what. But Tad's not stupid. He puts two and two together, and he immediately storms out of there on a mission.
He storms out, and she goes, oh, Tad, don't.
I mean,
don't.
Susan, what did you think he was going to do?
She just kind of lets him go. Susan didn't care. So then we actually had, in my opinion... some nice scenes of the week.
With Jill Larson.
Oh, I love this
one. Oh, Jill Larson, I like Jill Larson when they're giving her this meaty stuff. Not that psychic stuff.
Nata. I call it nata.
What?
You know when you make cafe con leche?
Uh-huh.
And you burn the milk and you got that hard stuff, that sticky stuff on top? Mm-hmm. Nata. They give her nata.
Okay. I never heard that. Is that your own word that you made up for it?
I think my dad might have made it up.
Okay. Because I've never heard it called nata.
Well, you have heard it called.
I didn't hear it ever called anything. It was just that burned skin on the top of the milk.
The skin on top of the milk.
I hate when that happens.
That's what the storyline is, nata. So then, Miss Opal, she got this all figured out. She's got a history. She knows what abuse is. She was abused by Mr. Ray Martin to within an inch
Ray
of her.
Ray Gardner, not Ray, Ray Martin.
Gardner, I'm sorry. She was abused by Ray Gardner to within an inch of her life. She looks at Crystal and she says, some bruise you got there. You need to put a piece of steak on that thing. Bring the swelling down. A little foundation wouldn't hurt either. You know, when you marry a monster, you learn the tricks of the trade.
So excellent.
Wise and wonderful.
Excellent.
She warns Crystal that this is going to happen Susan. Again. Susan. She warns Susan that this will happen again. It always does happen again. And she's right. And I thought it was good. I thought about you and Rihanna.
Yes.
Chris Brown.
Yes.
That was very good.
Very timely.
And Oprah. That was very, very timely.
But sadly, it goes in through one ear and out the other, and Susan pays her no mind.
Susan pays her no mind. Tad goes and damn near beats the crap out of David. I'm so and happy.
And what had to be one of the worst scenes and the worst... I mean, Tad was phenomenal, but... Did you hear that dialogue that they gave Vincent and Rosari? He goes, in case you can't see it, I'm upset. He didn't look upset about it. It was so, like, the lines that were coming out of his mouth were atrocious. Like, I wanted Tad to just pummel him. But then there was a point where Tad says something to him, and then David goes, oh, like, you never lost control or anything. And the thing that was so ridiculous, because we know that Tad has lost control. He killed, what's his name? See, this is what I don't like when the writers don't know their own history. You can't have Tad being all high and mighty about this.
But Tad got quiet at that point.
Yeah, but I still didn't feel like they were acknowledging the fact that Tad has lost control. Because the bottom line is Tad never should have lost control, you know? And Crystal had some awkward lines with Opal, too, that I almost wanted to hurl. Like, when she said...
Susan!
Oh, that's right, Susan. When Susan said, don't you know, David, so he's my husband, and he loves me so passionately that sometimes he gets a little crazy. What the f*** kind of line is that? That is the most stupidest thing! He loves you so passionately, so he's a little crazy, and that's normal? And then when they go, where are you going, Susan? And she goes, I'm going back to David, my life, or something like that. And I was like, oh my God, somebody give me a blaze, like a slice of my wrist. This is horrible.
Shoot me, kill me
so I don't have to listen to this dribble.
I would like one of those big Harry Carey swords. That's what I would like. Harry Carey sword. Right in a twist.
It was so, listening to the dialogue between Crystal and David was horrible.
And then she goes home and makes love to this animal.
Yes, Susan.
And I was turned off.
It was disgusting. It was so disgusting. And it sends out a bad message.
Of course,
because
it does.
I don't care if it was an accident. The bottom line was he was acting like an insane person on Monday's episode.
The only thing
insane.
In the interest of impartiality, I will agree that for storyline purposes and for truthfulness purposes, you do have to have the abused woman go back to the abuser, because it will be many times that she will go back to him before she wises up and leaves. That's the truth of it. There are very few women that leave after the first hit. You know what I'm saying? So, okay, I buy that. But I don't want to see these people ever get naked again. I don't want to see Susan's flesh. I don't want to see David's flesh. I don't want to see none of that flabby ass flesh slapping. Just disgusting. I do love Lil A now.
Let me tell you something. Lil A.
He's doing a bang up job.
He is doing a bang up job. That little boy is a better actor than Natalia. He out acts Natalia.
I agree with you.
Let me tell you something. That little boy.
She just appeared so worried when Lil A was gone.
She's an idiot, is what she is.
Oh my God.
She is. Natalia needs to go. I'm sorry. You want to talk about cutting corners? Instead of cutting Susan Lucci's paycheck, fire Natalia. There you go. Daddy, you don't have to cut Susan Lucci's paycheck.
Well, we did have, I think, a nice moment.
With who?
With JR and Lil A. He goes over. He brings some stuffed animals to Jesse because he wants Jesse to bring.
He was actually really good.
I thought so too. He wanted Jesse to bring stuffed animals to little A to help him sleep. And you could see, like, he has a child now, right? He has a baby now.
Jacob Young. Yes. He has a baby in real life.
That made me really think that he's really now in touch with, like, the idea of, like, losing your baby or your child, whatever. And so he's there, and all of a sudden, little A runs out. Daddy! And it was nice. It was really nice.
I like little A.
And little A kept saying, I wanna go home.
I know you.
He couldn't say, I wanna go home. He kept saying, I wanna go home.
I like that, though, because he sounds like a real little kid.
Thank you. That's exactly what I was gonna say. Sounds absolutely perfect.
Because, you know, some of these kid actors, they sound like Beth Ellers because they enunciate too clearly.
That's so true.
It's like, they don't sound like little kids. They sound like adults that are like midgets.
You know who's so talented?
Oh, I'm sorry. That's not politically correct. Little people.
Little people. Listen, you know who's so good too? The little Kathy, that little actress who plays Kathy, because she actually is someone who has the perfect diction, but she's so good. Like, when she's bratty, she's a good brat.
Oh, I love. She's I wish so they wouldn't have dropped that bad seed. Damn, these cookies are good. This is the last one, I swear.
Yeah, right. You're killing me. I'm trying not to eat them.
Want one?
No, I'm trying not to eat them.
Oh, okay.
Listen. Then we have this dumbass stuff where Jesse agrees to let JR see Lil A in secret, all right? And then, you know, we get a whole bunch of digressions. JR's all pissed off because he knows that Crystal got beat, quote unquote, by David. And he wants to use this to get custody of Lil A. But Opal and Tad convince him that that's not going to work because they can't prove it. It's just going to backfire.
And she'll and Susan will not own up to it. She'll deny it.
Susan will deny it. And of course she does because she comes over and denies it.
Angie didn't buy it. I love Angie
But I'm talking about when she came to the Martin household and sat with baby Jenny. Which I love me some baby Jenny. And I got to tell you, that little baby Jenny looks like Bobby Eakes, don't you think? Except for the droopy eyes. She looks like Bobby Eakes.
I'll have to wait until she starts talking and see if she has that horrible accent like Bobby Eakes.
Bobby Eakes don't have a bad accent. I like her accent. Bobby Eakes is cute as a button. This Susan, I don't know who the hell that is. I don't know who she is.
Okay, let's keep going.
But I will give you, and we've said it before, we'll say it again. Bobby Eakes, baby, you're not rising to the challenge of this crappy material. You're giving up. But I feel for you. I agree with Jordan. I feel for her. I feel for her.
I honestly, and I was telling Ashley this earlier today, I don't know how she goes into work every day and picks up this script and doesn't want to quit. Honestly, she must have to pay rent or something on a house or something.
How many actresses and actors have we seen with horrible storylines? We are so smart enough, all of the viewers, every single one of us that watches is smart enough to know when we're handed a dog of a storyline.
I know,
we never hold it against the actor. So the actor who acts despite the crappy storyline, I will adore and worship forever.
Yeah, but you know what? This is an all-time low. I'm sorry. This is an all-time low.
She gets paid enough to bring it home, and she ain't bringing it home for me.
No, after this week, my heart goes out to you, girl. I'm with you. I don't know how you're doing.
It goes out to you, Bobby, Miss Bobby Eakes. I adore you, but she's got to rise to the challenge a little more.
You can't. With what they're giving her this week, I don't know how you can. It's disgusting.
I'm not making excuses for anybody.
If I was her, I would go to the executive producer.
The whole cast of Guiding Light can tell you right now.
Let me tell you, in the old days, actors have quit over storylines.
That's fine, but they try to act them before they leave. They do their job. If they're a real actor, they act their storyline. They don't give up on it like Rebecca Budig did.
Yeah, but her storyline wasn't as bad as Bobby Eakes right now.
No, I don't care. I don't care if you got to play a Martian or a vampire, which we've had both of those things happen in General Hospital and Port Charles. You got to bring it home. You get paid enough money to work for, a few hours a day and look beautiful. You bring it home. Don't be mad at me, Jordan Hudson.
I'm not mad at you. I'm enjoying the aftertaste of my cooking. It was good.
Listen, let's wrap up this dumbass story.
Back to Nature, classic cream cookies, people. Try it out if you're not trying it out.
Delicious.
Organic cookies.
If you feel bad about eating Oreos, you can eat 100 of these.
Yeah, they're like Oreos, but they're organic.
So they're completely healthy.
And they taste just as good, let me tell you.
I think they taste better.
They do.
You dip them in milk. Oh, so delicious. We should get paid for this. Back to Nature, people. I hope you're listening. We take PayPal. All right, listen. So basically what happens is Angie and Natalia and Jesse. I don't have any good Jesse things this week. He didn't do much this week.
No, he was just there.
He's just there this week. They decided to do some hand painting with Lil A. And because they're doing hand painting, they all, when Jesse and Angie go to confusion, she forgets to wipe the hand paint off her little hand. And somehow the brilliant David deduces that Lil A is over at Angie. So he goes there. Lil A opens the door and he steals him. Right?
It's dumb.
So stupid. And then Talia is just sick with worry.
But you don't really see.
I'm sick with worry.
You don't really see the scene where Natalia comes out and realizes Lil A is gone. No, you don't.
Yes, you do.
No, you don't.
Yes.
Because at the end of the episode.
She was calling for him.
No. Bullshit. Listen to me. At the end of the episode, David takes the baby. When the next day comes, the next episode comes, JR comes to the apartment and she already knows that he's gone and she's looking for him. This is what I'm talking about, missing scenes.
Fine, I don't care about that scene. I don't care about Natalia. I don't ever want to see her on my screen again. She's stupid.
See, and if the writers had an idea for something that's coming down the ride, this would have been a perfect point for them to try to get a romance brewing between JR and Natalia.
Oh, my
Not that I want Natalia to stay on the show or anything, but like in the old days, this would be a perfect point for like writers to like write something like here, like he's blaming her and eventually they'll fall in love or something.
I'm wrapping this crap up. It's way too long.
But they're not going to do that.
This is what happens.
What?
People. We watch so you don't have to. So I'm going to tell you what happens in this particular story.
But I'm telling you right now, if you want me to continue doing it, you better be going into the pen pal and sending me some money because I can't take this anymore.
It's PayPal.
PayPal, whatever. You people need to pay me because my ass is broke right now. I just lost 5 clients because they lost their jobs. So, and I'm not going to be watching all my children for you guys anymore.
Ooh, that's harsh.
This show's horrible, man. You don't know.
It has become something of a job.
It has become. The only thing that keeps me going is the fact that I love being on the blog. I like listening to our, you know, reading our blog from everybody else. I love you guys. I do it for you guys.
I know.
I don't do it for all my children anymore. I can't. Because if it was up to me, if I didn't have, if I wasn't doing this, I would not be watching all my children right now. It hurts too much.
I know he wouldn't.
It hurts too much.
I'll tell you why it hurts so much. Because of this dumbass storyline. So basically what happens is David takes Lil Lay. He brings him home and he wants to run away with Crystal. Somehow Susan has enough sense to become Crystal again and tell.
That's what we're going to do. Whenever she behaves like Crystal, we'll call her Crystal. And whenever she's acting like Susan, we'll call her Susan.
All right, so she's Crystal now. So she sees what a stupid-ass, dumb-ass thing this is that David's done and how it's really going to jeopardize his case, his custody case. So she goes. I thought she was going to collude with him for a second there, but then she actually goes and takes Lil A back to Jesse's. And then JR wants to arrest David and
Jesse sends out an APB. Got an APB on David Hayward.
What?
I'm listening. Go on, keep going.
Sends an APB. And then Crystal, she's absolutely right. I can't blame her. Crystal is right. She tells Jesse, well, you know, all of us have violated the judge's order, so I guess we're all guilty. And that means Lil A has to go somewhere where none of us know where he is. So Jesse knows he's caught, and he calls the whole thing off.
So Susan got the upper hand for a second.
What happened on Friday? Oh, Friday, David operates on Lil Ian.
And this is my thing with that.
Uh-oh.
It's very sad because I actually, for a moment, just like at times I enjoy seeing Amanda with Jake, and I forget for a second because the scenes are so beautifully done, and you really wish that those other scenes never happen.
Jake does a very good job.
Yeah. Crystal and David had some nice scenes on Friday, which made
you
me...
You missed my joke.
What?
I didn't say Amanda. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Anyway.
Did you notice Jesse's Cheetah Girls pink phone? Why does he have a
Jesse
Cheetah Girl?
Jesse had a Cheetah Girl phone?
I don't know if it's a Cheetah Girls, but it's bright pink. Get the man a manly phone.
Do you know that somebody in the blog was saying they didn't know that Darnell Williams sang? Let me tell you something. I have his 45 at home, and it was called Pure Satisfaction. That was the name of his single back in the days in the 80s when ABC gave him some show. This was when videos first started coming out. This was like in his heydays when Greg and Jenny were on. He used to do some late night show where they showed videos because videos had just started coming out. I think this is even before MTV. And yes, he did have a song called Pure Satisfaction. Pure satisfaction. Oh, baby, I can't go on this way. I remember it. I got it at home. It's so funny. I have it. And I also have Kim Fields' this song. You remember Kim Fields' Tootie from Facts of Life?
Of course I remember.
She did a
Tootie
song for Michael Jackson called Dear Michael. I have that too. Dear Michael, oh, did you ever get my letter, Michael? You deluded girl. That boy is a queen. She's singing to Michael Jackson. Poor little Tootie. Michael Jackson's a big old girl. He don't want you. He wants your little brother. Oh!
We're gonna get sued.
I don't care. He did it. He did it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't like me no Michael Jackson. I like Janet Jackson. But now she's going as crazy as the rest of the family.
You had a point when we digressed.
Yes. David and Crystal had some beautiful scenes where you saw the possibility if this would have been written right. Like, if it would have been written that in overtime, you know, the grief that these two people shared brought them closer together, and because Tad couldn't, you know, give her what she needed to get through her grief. Like, I'm watching these scenes because they both sounded normal. There was no craziness. There was no hysteronic. This was a man.
You mean after they made love, that part?
No, I'm talking about Friday's episode. When he was open to her about his fears, about doing the surgery. And I'm watching these scenes, and I'm getting lost in the two of them. And I'm like... And then I remember all the craziness at the beginning of the week. And I'm like, see, this is why it's not working, people. Yeah. They could have wrote the show. Is that you or is that Gucci? Oh, my God. I thought that was Gucci. I was like, Gucci, what are you doing
with him?
Oh my god, that was Gucci.
I didn't realize it. Sorry.
Oh, it's okay. So like I was like, how much better would this show have been and this storyline would have been if they would have wrote this like a very mature storyline instead? Because Vincent Irizarry, you know, he's not a bad actor, people. I like Vincent Irizarry, but I've always said I prefer David when David has family and he's well grounded, not when he's this omnipotent villain. You know, and I enjoy for the moment those episodes Friday when he was vulnerable and he told her his fear and about losing Leora and that he couldn't do it. And she was like, no, but you're the best. Blah, 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 blah. And then when she said that, I'm like, wait a minute. These two, I can't get into this. They're crazy. The both of them.
Thank you.
So that's what happened. She pumped him up and he decides that he's going to do the surgery after all.
Well, we're moving ahead of ourselves a little bit. Do we care to tell them the rest of the story? That leads up to that.
Oh, you're gonna have to speed through this. You talk about Zach, Ryan, and Kendall. Yeah, I can't look. I can't even get into that. I can't even get into this storyline.
I know it's a casino.
This storyline is like
it's actually getting disgusting. Don't you think the way he's insulting her now?
You know why? Because again, this goes to what
we forgot to say that Amanda now called herself a slut this week.
Yes.
Now she's calling herself a slut when she talks to Jake about the adoption.
Yeah. I can't deal with it. Yeah, because her and Jake were trying to make arrangements to get rid of the baby, and the lawyer was like, "Oh, we need the father's permission." So Jake says that he's the father. Like, is anybody gonna buy this? Like, I'm listening to you, and I don't buy it. How could this lawyer buy it? It's the most stupid thing. He's like making excuses that the Martins would want to take care of the baby, and the Martins his parents are too old to be raising the baby. Like, nothing he said made any sense in any form of the imagination.
I agree.
And then what does the lawyer say? Oh, this was my favorite thing. The lawyer looks at him and goes, well, you guys should reconsider because you're both great together and you would make great parents. In other words, trying to push them together. On. Yeah, that's what, writer Chuck Pratt, that's what we call being obvious.
So obvious.
Idiot.
Dick.
Idiot. Ugh. Suck it, Chuck Pratt. Suck it.
All right, moving on. We started the week with Zach and Kendall and Ryan in the casino. I hate that Bon Jovi knockoff background music. It was like, a little bit damaged.
A little bit what?
Damaged.
A little bit what?
Damaged.
A little bit what?
Ah, what?
I would have kept going like my nephew. My nephew goes, why? Because. I go, why did you do it? Because. I'm like, why? Because.
Listen. It's obvious they're trying to talk about Zach because he's damaged goods and blah, blah, blah. Who cares? He looked like hell. And I'm sorry. This place still does not feel like a casino. It is retarded. I've never seen a casino like this. What the hell? And also, too, there was no drama for me, Jordan, because I don't get poker. I don't know what the hell it's. I don't know what the hell's going on, what the aces mean, what the queens mean. I don't know what any of this shit means.
I don't play poker.
That's what I'm saying. What the hell? Zach tells Kendall, you should know by now no one steals from me and gets away with it. I was like, yeah, that's Josh. He's dead. It's true. And I love when Erica tells Ryan, I ought to smack the smug off of you. He's having another cookie. Will you pay attention?
This is boring. I want to eat.
Ay, ay, ay. All right, Zach.
Speed it up, girl.
Fine, I will speed it up. I was really mad at Ryan for disrespecting Erica and telling her to stay out of this. I thought to myself, what a dick. And then I thought, Zach is such a dick. Because he says he never slept with anyone since their vows, that makes him a saint. Well, you spit off into a cup and you made a baby with your wife's sister while she was in a coma whatever.
Kendall has slept with two different men.
All right, fine. You got a point. But still, it's not like he's a saint. I'm so sick of his holier-than-thou crap. It makes me crazy.
But he did kill her brother. So I think Kendall wins.
Thank you. He's got a lot of digressions, if you will. And then Kendall says something that I thought was weird. And she goes to Ryan, would you hurry up and kick his ass so we can go home? I thought that was a weird line. Didn't you think that was a weird line?
Storyline is weird. Ashley?
Zach puts up his wedding ring, finally. And Erica, and he wins. And Erica was appalled. And she says, Zach, aren't you forgetting something? He says, no, not forgetting anything. Something like that. Stupid. So, thought that was weird. And then Erica all week has been kind of just going back and forth between Ryan and Zach, trying to get the other to back off or back down or whatever.
And she does say, she says some crap to Zach about the pain of losing a mother. And then so Zach goes.
A mother? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Mona.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, no, 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 because he lost his mother. Oh. And blah, blah, blah. So then she he goes home and he sees Kendall and Ryan making out, which is so disgusting to me. It's so weird. Kendall's quizzing Ryan about what are we? What, I mean, what are we doing?
What are you and what are you doing? Greenlee just died like not even a month ago.
I haven't heard her name mentioned all week. Or I mean, maybe once or twice.
People, this is why I'm disgusted with all my children. Why it hurts to watch and I can't watch it because the way he's writing this show is the same way that he wrote Melrose Place and the same way he destroyed my Santa Barbara, which I love so more. Having characters doing things that made absolutely no sense whatsoever. I don't care that Ryan and Kendall used to be involved with each other. They're supposedly grieving for her best friend and his fiance, and this is how they show their grief?
I'm telling you, a pen is a dangerous weapon in this man's hands. He should have not be allowed to have a pen or a computer or a typewriter, nothing.
I can't. I don't understand how anybody can watch this and not be Zach, just over
and
it.
And Zach said something disgusting to Kendall about Adam, Zach, and Ryan could all move in and take turns with Kendall. I thought that was disgusting. I honestly was offended.
I wouldn't. It would be all my children's answer to big love, but reverse.
This is disgusting, though. It was a disgusting comment to her.
I know, but big love in reverse.
Oh, that's true. That could be kind of sexy.
I say why not.
All right, I gotta finish this. I'm going nuts with this. All right, fine. I mean, basically, what happens is Ryan leaves. Kendall and Zach have an actual realistic discussion about what's gonna happen. She decides she's gonna stay at home. He's gonna stay at home. They're just not gonna be a couple because they don't want to hurt the boys. They're doing it for the family, which is not a great idea ever. But that's what they're doing. And then all of a sudden, Zach notices that Ian is like blue. And so he takes Ian to the hospital.
And she doesn't mean sad.
I don't mean sad. I mean like the kid ain't breathing. So Zach takes him to the hospital, calls Kendall. She don't answer. Erica calls. She answers and she finds out that Ian's sick. They go to the hospital together. Alicia does a beautiful job with these scenes.
Beautiful.
Beautiful crying over her son. And of course, Erica goes straight to David. Says, David, I need your help. I need you, David. And then David helps out, and apparently it's just one of these stupid things where if they operate, they could kill him. If they don't operate, they could kill him.
Dun-dun-dun. That's suspense with Chuck Pratt.
And then Ryan is all of a clamp because he sees Zach and Kendall getting closer. So anything else to add to that?
I will say, yeah, and then when we talked about already, the after fact that Crystal convinced David to do it because David didn't want to do it.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that.
I personally didn't like the fact that they made Erica grovel yet again to David. I mean, it's so stupid. David's like the only doctor. He's the best doctor in the whole world. He's the only, everybody's indebted to David. I just find it beneath them to make Erica grovel like that all the time. But you know what I would find interesting, and I hate this because I'm not wishing a death on any child, but this is an imaginary kid. I mean, it's a character on the show. I think there would be more storyline if they did kill the kid off.
Interesting.
I think it would be powerful. The same way when Laura got hit by the car and Brooke had to deal with that and Tom had to deal with it. I think it would be more interesting for Zach and Kendall to lose their child.
You know why? Because they've been so self-absorbed, these people.
Yeah, they don't deserve a kid.
It would be interesting. Not so much that, but it would be interesting to see how they deal with the fact that they've been so freaking selfish. Yeah,
but then you know what? Chuck Pratt would actually his writers would actually have to like write something, and they're not capable of writing anything of death.
You're right. They're not.
They're not. So not. It won't work. They'll probably make it stupid. They'll probably have like Zach like decide that, you know, just I can't even think of stupid things. You know? And I'm sorry, you know, I shouldn't call the writer stupid because that was an insult to stupid people to call the writer stupid. We have to think of a new word for how stupid these people are.
How stupid they are.
Because stupid it doesn't capture the essence of how Chuck Pratt and his writing team are.
It just really doesn't capture the
depth. We gotta come up with a new word.
Of the stupidity. Do you want to talk at all about Frankie and Randy?
They were on this week?
For like a minute.
When?
Brat and Taylor were on. I thought a few weeks ago Taylor told Brat she didn't want to go back to Iraq and now she wants to go back to
Iraq. Oh, yeah, that whole thing. Oh, that made absolutely no sense.
And now all of a sudden she's dying to go back because she's a soldier. But like 2 weeks ago,
she was saying, the only reason I wanted to go back was to be closer to you. Now that you're here, I don't want to go back. It made no sense. It was so stupid. I'm sitting there. I thought the same thing. I'm looking at it. And I'm like, oh my God.
I'm like, listen, all my children. I know I fall asleep a lot during the show, but I don't think I missed that. No, you didn't miss it.
It was stupid, Ashley. It was real stupid. I'm glad you pointed it out because I was like this.
So, but then Frankie's all upset. He left in a huff because he's afraid.
Yeah, she can't understand.
I'm gonna tell you one thing about Rancid this week.
What?
She looked absolutely beautiful. She had her hair feathered back.
Thank you, Ashley Blight Wilson.
Listen,
you're right. That's your new name, Ashley Blight Wilson.
But I gotta be positive wherever I can. I gotta grasp a little nugget of brightness, you know what? Some sunshine wherever I can.
I'm gonna be honest with you because remember when she started, I told you that I thought she was absolutely stunning and beautiful. I'm over it. Beauty only works with me. So the same thing when I'm up, the same thing when I'm dating somebody. I don't care how good looking they are. If they are vapid or vain or obnoxious or they don't have any substance, I don't have any interest. I don't care how good looking you are. Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. I'm over her. She needs to go. I'd rather have some ugly, frumpy, fat girl on the show. I shouldn't say fat. I should say pleasantly plump girl on the show with Frankie than to have this anorexic thing on.
We are running out of time. Act. Do we talk about Annie and Adam and Bucktooth Bianca? Or Bucktooth Boogerface, as I like to call her. Either one works.
Leave that girl alone. She can't help it. She was born like that. That's not nice. You can't help who you parents are.
Why am I nice? Look, I'm horrible. Horrible. I'm a terrible person.
What is that?
I go to church every weekend, cry about all the terrible things I've said all week on the air.
Getting back to Taylor. What? There was a bizarre little scene that if you blinked, you would have missed it. Taylor and Brock go to Confusion. Again, like that's the only place in Pine Valley to go to if you want to drink. They go to Confusion, and who's there but Tad? And they do that scene where they... And it's so sad because you realize the chemistry that Michael Knight and her would have had. Like even more so than she has with... I'm sorry, more so than she has with Ricky Paul Golden. It's not that her and Ricky don't have chemistry. It's the characters don't have chemistry.
Agreed.
Tad has chemistry with Taylor.
Yep.
And I got to be honest with you guys. I'm being 100% honest. I have not seen him have chemistry with a woman like this since our beloved Dixie.
Wow.
I've only liked him with, I liked him with Dottie, Tasia Valenza. I loved him with Marcy Walker. And of course, everybody loves him with Dixie. I know you liked Hillary. That bug.
I like Hillary.
That was those eyes popping out of her head, Hillary. That Carmen Thomas.
You know who else I liked him with?
Who?
Marion.
Oh. You know who he would have been good with?
Who?
He would have been good with some Mary Smythe.
Oh my God.
And Mary Smythe would have been hot.
Why did they bring her back?
Oh my God, I live for Mary Smythe.
All right, listen.
But it was really weird because she flirted with Tad and Michael Knight played the hell out of the scene because that's the kind of actor Michael Knight is. You give him a bone, he's going to run with it. And all I felt was horrible because I said they wasted that poor actress. They should have put her with Michael Knight. Not that I don't want J.R. Martinez in the show, but... Again,
she should have been with Michael Knight and Jake should have been with Greenlee.
Yeah, you should have you wrote her into a corner now.
Dumbass.
Where are you going with the storyline? Because now if you write Jay Martinez off or if you kill him or you do anything, we're gonna be pissed because we like his character. You have this character who went through all this to get back to a healthy place. Now how do you destroy that?
JR Martinez and Beth Ellers remind me of are the characters of Bratton Taylor.
Who?
They remind me of Megan going, caw, 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 flying like a bird, floundering.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You did not watch American Idol, young man.
I told you after, like, the first week.
I think he's lying. I think he's acting.
No, I read about it in the paper, and I didn't.
She did this weird thing.
I read about it. I read that she did something.
She cawed like a bird. She went, caw, caw, and she flapped her wings. And that's what I think that Brad and Taylor are like. They're like Megan flapping in the wings.
Well, look, all I can say is that I'm glad she's finally gone because she should have been.
I don't get that joke.
She should have been left years ago. What?
I don't get the joke about her being a bird.
Well, she looks like Big Bird.
Is that what they call her,
Big Bird? I don't know. She looks like Big Bird.
Maybe.
She looks like Big Bird who has Tourette's syndrome.
Oh, my God.
What song did she butcher this week?
A Bob Marley song.
Oh. She had the audacity.
No, it was a Bob Marley / something something song.
She insults Patsy Cline, and now like she is Bob Marley.
No, it was someone doing a duet with a Bob Marley thing. I don't remember.
That's why they call her Bird, because she did Rockin' Robin. Maybe that's why they call her Bird.
I don't know. I don't really care. I'm glad she's gone.
Oh, she should have been gone weeks ago. She's
I felt
awful.
A little bad. She cried a lot for her baby. She said, I'm coming home, baby. I'm coming
home. That's what that you should do. Cry. You need to go home and you need to be a mother and take care of your kid. Really sweet. Not be a no American Idol.
Don't say that. That's not right. There's so many mommies this season. Huh? There's like three or four mommies.
I know, but the mommy that should have stayed left like the first week.
I know, you're right. She should have stayed. You're right.
The better singer left. Because, you know, everybody loves Little Rounds, but I got to tell you,
Little Rounds, whatever. Not Little,
She's breaking under pressure because I think she's a great singer, but I don't think she's really showcased herself. I think she's intimidated by everybody.
You know
everybody.
Who she's going the way of? The season of Jennifer Hudson. Who was the other African-American woman that sang?
LaToya London.
Yeah, she's going the way of her.
Yeah.
Because LaToya London had so much talent, but you didn't really know who she was as a person, as an artist.
Yeah. I agree with you. Because I love me some LaToya London, but I agree with you because I like Little Rounds. I think she could sing, but there's something, I don't know if it's that she's scared or she's intimidated, but there's something missing there.
I can't believe that you were not watching for Chris.
My heart is broken. You don't know. I love that boy.
He's so freaking good.
You don't understand. Really, I love watching somebody when they're showing their talent.
I was really shocked. I got to tell you, I got to hand it to our listeners and our viewers and our bloggers.
Why?
Our bloggers went off on American Idol this week.
Good.
I was cracking my ass off. I was laughing so hard at some of the opinions, the astute opinions. But I was laughing at myself because I didn't think it was that bad. And I'm like, dang, the bloggers are harsher than Ashley Mendoza.
Well, everybody was really harsh on is it Allison? Yarita?
I thought she was fine. I just thought the only mistake she made, listen people, this is Ashley's brilliant analysis. She started singing the song the way it starts, very like, almost like a cappella with just the guitar or something that she was playing. And then she went into the whole, you know, Gwen Stefani thing. If she had done the whole song with just her guitar and her voice, she would have shot to the top.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't see it. I went on YouTube because I love that song. And I think she would do a great job. But everybody was ragging on her.
And they made fun of
what
she
wore. And
she
made it the bottom three.
So dumb. She's
grow
fantastic.
Up. Grow up about making fun of people's clothes.
I mean.
It's not like she was doing a Sanjaya.
Scott,
or Sanjaya. Did you hear me? Why are you picking on the blind boy?
Because clearly.
He's blind.
He's clearly blind.
You know, my problem with Scott is that I think he's getting the sympathy vote. I think people are voting for him because he's blind, not because he's that talented. Because he's another one who, his voice isn't all that. He's okay.
He's fine. He's better than Adam.
Who's Adam?
Out of my children.
Oh, God.
Look.
Notice that she had to take that pause and then go. I love.
Story is really straining. Any sort
Melissa
of
Claire Egan, you get the Bobby Eakes Award.
Yes, thank you. That's a woman.
You
who
get the Bobby Eakes Award.
She's got an even dog-ear storyline.
Because she has to work with Adam.
Can you agree with me that she has a dog-ear storyline than Bobby Eakes?
Melissa Egan, you know why you're the MVP of All My Children? It's because no matter what shit they throw at you, you will run with it like a dog with a bone because you don't care. You're just glad you're working, and I love you for it.
I don't even know if it's that.
Yes, homegirl thought her days were numbered years ago. And then when they started paying attention to her, she said, I'm going to milk this for all it's worth because I need a job.
I think she's a good actress. I think she has.
She went from Blandy to our insanity, and we love her.
She really did. I never thought I would see the day where I would be tweeting her praises.
Exactly.
She
was our Blandy, but not anymore. She is our shiny. You know what she is? What? She is our guiding light at All My Children.
Oh, that's heavy praise.
She is. Let me tell you something. I'm amazed by the fact that no matter how horrible this gets, and no matter who they put opposite her, she still brings it home.
Well, that's my point. Let's wrap this up. I really want to talk about One Life to Live. I really do.
Okay.
I was not following why it's such a big deal that Annie thought her birthday was Emma's birthday. And I'm remembering it's because when she was in the insane asylum, she thought she was Emma, right? Some shit like that.
Yeah.
So something about it, she starts recalling something about an evil birthday party. And then she talks more and more about Tori / Bucktooth Boogface Bianca. and
she's sleeping with Adam. It's funny. This week, Adam decides not to sleep with her in the mental institution. He tells Annie that he can't do it. So why does he get scruples now?
Because he already got a piece. He's all being right. A typical man. He already tapped that ass.
So they nab. They nab, and Annie has a nightmare. And then Tori shows up. And you kind of know that now because she shows up in like the middle of the night. That doesn't make any sense. And then she's gone.
I see dead people.
She does see dead people. Did you ever notice that? Did you ever notice that little Annie and little Richie? They look, they really very varied looks when they were young. They look different every time you see them as little kids. Did you ever notice that?
They got different actors probably.
This particular Annie, I found a little chubby. I'll be honest with you.
A little what?
Chubby.
Don't say things like that. You're going to send that poor girl to anorexia.
No. The actress wasn't chubby. I don't mean it like that. I mean, like, for what I picture Annie being like when she was little, I don't picture Annie being full figure.
You are so mean. Full figure.
So then she's sitting there. Apparently, Annie remembers that, is Sani remembers that she was wearing a yellow dress. And she lifts her hand and there's blood on it. But she's like under a stairwell. And
well, then maybe she was bloated because she was having a period.
That's my point. She really looked, it really looked like she pulled her hand from her pants and had period on it. I swear to God, that was disgusting. I'm sorry, people. I don't mean to be nasty, but I thought it might be period. I'm like, baby, why are you hiding in the closet? It's only your period. Didn't your mother tell you about the birds and the bees?
Are you there, God? It's me, Annie.
That's what I'm saying.
Hello, Judy Blue.
Thank you. Instead, they make it so stupid. They make little young Richie come out with some blood on a bat. Oh, gross.
I knew all about this because my source had told me about this. That's why I'm like very like,
Well, Bucktooth Boogerface comes back to the apartment. Oh, that's when she leaves. And then she comes back later and helps Annie remember the whole thing. And what happens after that?
Oh,
Annie thinks she killed Bucktooth Bianca. But Aiden is deducing, Aiden's deducing that Tori is a young girl that went missing.
I understood you. You gotta do better.
I gotta work on it.
If I understand you, you're not doing it right.
Yeah, you're right. Anyway, we find out that this young Tori is a figment of Annie's imagination, but she was actually real. That she's seeing a girl that might have grown up to be Tori, but the girl's not real. Because Aiden comes at the end of the week and he finds out about Tori. He gets the name Tori. That, was she killed or was she missing?
Missing.
Missing.
They don't know where she's missing.
They don't know where she is.
Dum, dum, dum,
so Annie's
dum.
Been seeing things. Do we need to talk about anybody else on this program?
Yes.
You want to talk about Kobe and Petey, don't you?
No.
You want to talk about Adam and Erica, don't
yes.
you?
Yes. Okay. Because right, it was 2 seconds. All this week, we found out that Adam was calling himself Stewart and that he was missing from the house, from the hospital. JR and Tad paid some man who has some information, and they found out that Adam is now Stewart in the sense that he's an artist as well. And he's drawing pictures of Erica but calling her Lottie. So there's this big mystery that they've been showing a commercial for on SoapNet all this week about the big mystery with Adam. And you know what I have to say to that?
What? No, but I'm gonna tell you one thing.
No,
I'm
what?
Gonna tell you one thing.
David Canary looked good in that denim jacket.
He looked hot.
Yes, yes.
He looked sexy. He came in this like members only denim jacket.
You know what I think?
And his hair ruffled.
I think they were triplets.
You think?
I think there's Adam and Stewart and Devlin, and this is Devlin Chandler, and that's who's gonna be with Erica. Because you know what? This storyline makes no stupid sense whatsoever.
It is
the most dumbest thing. I don't buy Adam and Erica. I don't buy Adam being in love with Erica after everything they've been through. It makes no sense whatsoever.
I
will agree with you. The David Canary.
David Canary
looked very hot on Friday's episode. You go,
awesome.
David. Show them why you're a silver fox.
It was pretty good to kiss.
But see, the thing is that this is, again, where's Stuart through all this? Where is Stuart and Marion? Don't they live in the damn cottage?
It's ridiculous.
It makes no sense. Did you know that Kobe had some tears?
No, I don't want to talk about Kobe. I really do. I have to? Seriously?
Yeah, her and Petey had like a stupid discussion. It made no sense. I can't even remember what it was about because it was so boring. It was dumb.
I really want to talk about One Life to Live, please.
All right.
You go first.
Oh. Why do I have to go? Well, first
because
of all.
Because you always say this.
All right.
This is what you say.
One Life to Live was hot this week.
One Life to Live was hot this week. Thank but anyway, you. Let me tell you the one thing. Before we start on all the good stuff, because there's more good stuff than there is bad stuff every time on One Life to Live. The one bad stuff, I mean, see, this is for you guys to know that I don't play favorites. When I feel like my show's down, I will rag it. Ron C, I am not feeling this Layla and Christian storyline at all. I think it's the concept is cute. It's typical.
It's not that bad.
Wait, let me get my words out. It's cute. The storyline itself is cute because that's all the way you get, like, these couples hate each other at first and they fall in love.
Of the Shrew.
Yeah, it's great. But you know what? No, you illiterate. You read. You're not illiterate. I understand. Literate. I know. I meant to say that. Look, this is my problem with it. First of all, I don't buy for a minute that Layla is going to fall for this guy who banged her sister and banged her best friend, Sarah. Sorry, don't buy it. Don't buy it. It's forced. It's contrite.
I buy it.
You're pushing the two of them together.
I buy it. Huh? I can see that happening with Christian and Layla.
But he dated her sister. This is the only storyline I feel like. And I'm not feeling the fact that A. Martinez is gone as Ray. That's another thing I'm not feeling.
I'm going to tell you one thing.
And right supposedly, Norton said that the reason Brian Franz fired Marcy and Michael and A. Martinez and his daughter was because he wants to make room for Guiding Light stars. That's stupid.
Well, I'm telling you, A. Martinez is knocking it out of the park with Dorian.
Oh, man. That's what I'm saying. How can you watch this week's episodes with Dorian and Ray and not realize how important this is?
Well, it's not Ron Colavardi.
It's not Ron Colavardi.
It's
Brian Franz. There's no way that Ron C. and David Valenti, Frank Valenti, are not realizing how good this is.
I'm going to tell you right now that the one storyline I cringe at, that I think I'm really mad, I'm really bummed, disappointed. I'm not mad. I'm disappointed in Ron Colavardi. I don't know if maybe he was forced to do this, but what I respect so much about Ron Colavardi as a writer is he honors what kind of feels real or truthful, right? Now, the truth of this freaking Stacy storyline, there's not truth in it. I'm sorry.
I disagree.
Gigi and Rex have a strong enough relationship that she would go to him and confide in him and say, Rex, Stacy is a match, but she's blackmailing me to break up with you. You and I need to make this look good. We need to break up. We need to make her believe it and do that. The only reason why they're making this happen, it's a little bit plotty to me. They're making it so that it affects Jess and Brody. It's just...
And I love it!
No, it's too complicated.
I'm sorry, I love it.
For me, what would have been so much more interesting would be either that, or number two, much more fun for me would have been an indecent proposal kind of thing.
I like that idea. I told you I like your idea.
So that Stacy approaches both of them and says, you know, I can give Shane his bone marrow if Rex spends the night with me.
I'm so proud of you. Because you sounded just like her. Oh, my God. Now she's going to be doing One Life to Live impersonations. I live. No, let me tell you that. I like your idea. I like your idea because you know what? You know who did that? Edge of Night did that. When Skylar and Raven were married and Raven was up for murder charges for murdering her ex-husband, Alicia Van Dyne told Skylar that if he slept with her, she would vindicate Raven. So he didn't even tell Raven what was going on. He went ahead and he did it. And you know what was the most beautiful? Larkin Malloy, who played Travis Montgomery on All My Children, he came up after sleeping with Alicia Van Dyne to free Raven, his wife that he loved so much, and he was crying. And those were some hot scenes.
I would want Stacy to tell both Gigi and Rex, because that way Gigi has to be in on it and agree and know that her man is making
love.
I like your storyline idea.
And
then they have to deal with the repercussions of that.
I'm not doubting you. I like your storyline, but I'm still enjoying this. I'm loving it. You know why? Because I hate Gigi and I love Stacy, and I'm loving it.
I'm
getting
like,
it.
I'm not with the haters. I like Stacy. I think Crystal Hunt is paying her excellently.
And I love those scenes with her and Brody. But yeah. See, this is the thing that I love about One Life to Live is the fact that what she's doing is crazy, but unlike All My Children, everybody's calling her on it. Brody reamed her. Like, he was like, I thought those scenes were really good when Brody was like, I've been in your shoes. I know what it's like to love somebody once, and you think that this is going to make everything better, and I'm telling you, you're going to lose. That's what you call writing. I was like, oh.
But why wouldn't Brody have said to her, can't you just tell Rex and you guys fake it? Why couldn't Brody have said that
to her? He told Gigi.
He did tell Gigi that?
No, then that's the thing.
Say?
That was a,
what did she say?
She was fearful that it wouldn't go, that Rex, she, her thing, her I answer
had
to big, that.
I actually did have a blackout because all week it's been news.
Yeah, because
the
news. No. There was a great scene with Brody and Gigi because Brody brought all that up. Before Brody went up, he kept begging Gigi to just tell Rex. And she kept saying no because Stacey will find out. Rex will get upset and go confront her. She had like real fears. No,
Rex
they may not be validated.
Rex is smart enough. He's smart enough to be a team. No.
I disagree with you. You don't know Rex.
To be a team with Gigi.
I disagree with you. You don't know Rex. Rex is a hot-headed idiot.
Then fine. Then do Indecent Proposal.
I'm telling you, look, One Night to Live was smoking this week because not only was all that good, but the Ray and Dorian storyline, I cannot believe that it's going to be over. I cannot believe. And don't get me wrong. I love David and Dorian. But I got to tell you something. Dorian needs a thing with Dorian and David is that Dorian controls David.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
Dorian's
yeah,
best.
Yeah.
Dorian is best when a man is stronger than her and can put her in her place. Because one of the things that made Mel and her, Mel was like the great love
That's
of her
like
life.
Erica. That's when Erica's her best.
Mel could give her.
That's why I like Erica and Mike Roy.
Yes. Mel can give her, and they were great together. And that's what I love about Ray, because Ray is tit for tat with her, man. Like, he is just on her. He knows her game. And those scenes were so beautifully paid. I cannot believe that they're going to get rid of that. Because that's hot. That's hot.
We haven't seen Friday's episode yet, right?
No, I haven't seen. No, you haven't either. I haven't seen Friday's episode.
So
I only slept to Thursday.
On how it finishes the
but
week.
But he's gone. They fired him. I still can't believe it. I mean, him and Dorian are so hot together.
It would have been such a great love triangle too.
Especially when
David
comes back, because Tuck Watkins is going to be coming back. Just
I love when he called her from Hollywood and he didn't get the part or something.
Yeah, and all she was doing was checking out Ray. That's fun. Acting and good writing. And A. Martinez is so good. I mean, he has so much chemistry with her.
Let me tell you.
But I am still not buying. I'm sorry. I am still not buying Todd and Taya. I love Taya. I think she's playing.
Let me,
banging it out of
she
the park.
She is.
But he's not.
How?
I'm not seeing any subtlety. I'm not seeing any subtlety in his work.
All I'm going to say is that Todd is so obnoxious. I mean, those things that he said to her, and I love the fact that she just was like over him and put him in his place.
I missed
even
them.
Though, you know,
that was the,
oh,
that
was,
the
yeah. Oh, no. I saw that on Soapnet, girl. I was not missing my Todd and Taya. I love me some Taya. Anything with Taya, I love. I will say this, though.
What?
It was so, and again, all my children used to do this, and they don't do this anymore, but One Night to Live does it. I love the fact that Hank Gannon showed up this week. That's Nora. For those of you who don't know, like Terry, who just started watching the show, that's right,
Terry
girl. Terry, that's right. That's right. Nora had a black husband first, girl. She had some jungle fever first. And her and Hank have a history. She not only slept with Hank, but she slept with Hank's brother, RJ, who was a villain on the show for years.
She has a daughter.
And they have a daughter, biracial daughter, who is coming back to the show. They're bringing Rachel back on the canvas.
That's good.
So I love the fact that Hank came.
Was that the real Hank?
That's the real Hank, the original Hank. Nathan Perdue, who used to be on Young and the Restless.
She was very sweet with him, too.
They were exes, but they had a great relationship. Yeah. And when he was on the show, that's the reason she came on the show, because he was on the show first and
isn't
they brought
that
her
nice
on.
When you have exes,
yeah, and I but see, but isn't that great when you have these characters come back to town because something major happened?
Yeah,
you know, even though that's not his kid, that's his ex-wife kid, that's his daughter's half brother.
Yeah,
so and he knows Bo and he's friends with Bo, and that's reality, people. That's how it happens in real life. So I love that. Those scenes were really great, and I thought what was really beautiful was that poor Clint realized him and Nora done. He knows it.
But
he
they
knows
never
it.
Had. Is that Jerry Verdorn?
Yeah.
They never had.
I know,
chemistry.
And I hope it's not. I hope it's not true that they're putting him, because the rumors were that he was going on like on recurring. He wasn't going to be on contract. That's a big mistake. Ron C, you got to give Clint a storyline, even if it's getting Clint back with Vicky. I would love Clint and Vicky to get back together.
I don't think it's a mistake.
Jerry Verdorn's a great actor. You don't know him from. He's from Guiding Light.
I don't think my suspicions tell me the way he's been acting lately. His acting, that is. He's not that great right now.
No, well, they need to give him a good storyline. He is, let me tell
he's
you something.
He's a little wooden.
I'm going to tell you something. I think they need to go with this whole Asa thing of making him take over Asa's role in the show. Right, making fine. Him, Jerry Verdorn.
He's a little wooden for
he's
me.
He's won Emmys, girl. He was Ross Marler on Guiding Light.
That was then.
No,
this
I
is
just,
now.
Look, I will admit that him and Nora did
Another
not
Judy
have.
Judy Blume book. That was then, this is now. Very good book.
I love Judy Blume.
I love Judy Blume.
I gotta say though, One Night to Live was really good. And the mystery. See, this is, again, beautiful stuff. That's the original actor from The Rape.
Really?
That is him.
Oh, that's so good.
That is him.
But wait, there's two of them.
Yes, Power Lord, Vicky's, I don't know, I think he's Vicky's nephew or distant cousin. There's that guy, but then there's
also the guy that was in the hospital.
That's Power Lord.
That is, oh, that's the original guy, though?
No, they haven't shown Power Lord. No, no, no. The guy that Fish is friends with, that's not Power Lord.
No, I know. But they. But listen, he mentions, okay, fine. There's two possibilities that right. I saw. Maybe I'm wrong.
Uh-huh.
There's the guy that gave Stacy the test results, right?
Yeah, but he's not old enough to be involved with this. I understand this,
but he's an old KED friend of Fish's. Yeah. And then they made him look a little suspicious, remember?
Yeah, after the I know, but I think that's just trying to throw us off.
No, I know, I'm saying. So they got him, but that doesn't make any sense. And then they had the other guy who was really menacing, Power Lord.
No, no, not Power Lord. You're talking about the guy... The guy that was eating dinner on Todd's
tab. Yes.
No, I forgot his name. Josh. That's Josh Weinstein. But no, the other photo that John was showing Fish, that is Power Lord. Power Lord was on the show. Now, see, this is the thing, guys. Oh, okay.
I was confused.
Ron C, I don't want to be blowing your storyline out of the woodwork, but I would love this to happen. What I would love is for us to find out, because it's funny how Power Lord. They don't have the original actor. I don't know if he's even still around or what's going on. He might not even be acting anymore. But I would love it if what happened is that Power Lord, they find out, is not in the mental institution like they claim that he is. And if the guy who's playing Todd now, Trevor St. John, is Power Lord. And he has the real Todd.
You said
Roger
that.
Howard.
Sounded so amazing.
Roger Howard locked somewhere. Let me tell you something.
Why is this guy not right?
Roger Howard... I cannot believe he's happy with As the World Turns right now and that garbage they're giving him.
He's so good, so I love
him.
Love him.
It's going to be off the air a year from now, Roger Howard. So if I was you, I'd get my ass back to One Life to Live right now because they could put you back in like that. And that would be a great storyline because now you could keep Trevor St. John on the show with Roger Howard. It would explain why Trevor St. John doesn't feel Taya the way Roger Howard's Todd felt Taya. And I would live because let me tell you something. I would love me some Roger Howard back on One Life to Live.
Can I make one more comparison? I hate to keep doing this, but One Life to Live this week at Capricorn, they had that woman. Do you know the song that she sang?
Rachel Yakamaki?
Is that her name?
Things like Rachel Yakamaki, yeah.
They had
She's
her
an up-and-coming
sing,
artist. Yeah, I know.
They had her sing a song.
It was beautiful.
That was so... Oh. I was crying.
Oh,
she sang song. It. It was dark. It was a nightclub atmosphere. Oh. She sang and they interspersed it with scenes of like people in pain. Like, I know you don't like them, but Christian and Layla. Mm-hmm. You know, actually Dorian was in there looking longingly at Ray. It was so amazing while this music was going. And then at the very end, and this is what I mean about directing. This is why the directors are so excellent. At the end of the song, they go back to the performer. And you see her finish the song. She's got one of these mics that she's singing right in, like almost licking this microphone. And she finishes the song, and she just ends on this note, and the note lingers. And then everybody claps for her. But I had goosebumps. I was crying. I just thought it was so beautifully done. They just don't have moments of artistry. This Cavers word from American Idol. They just don't have moments like that.
No, it was good. And then it ended with what's his name looking at Todd, and the last lyric. No, not Taya. The guy.
Scary. And
the lyric was. Her lyric in the song was "Sleep with your one eye open" or something. It's the night with the one eye. Very fitting. Oh, girl, I was all over that episode. I was like, "Work, loving it." One Life to Live, as always. You're not perfect because nobody's ever going to be perfect. Nobody's ever going to be perfect. You know, and you can't please everybody because as we see, some people love Stacey, very few of us, and then a majority of you hate her. But the thing is. You can't deny the fact that at least One Life to Live is entertaining us.
Absolutely.
That's the thing. Whether you like it or hate it or love it, it's a fun ride and you never disappoint.
Well, we hope that we are entertaining you.
Yes.
And if we're not, you can write us and complain. PVP@PineValleyPodcast.com. You can go to our Facebook page. I'm done with MySpace. I hate it. You can go to the Pine Valley Podcast fan page. You can be our fan. You can go to the Ashley Mendoza Facebook page. Look me up, people. I love having a lot of friends. You can also go to our website, www.pinevalleypodcast.com, where you can link onto the blog site and you can join in all the fun. We have great bloggers, great discussions. We'd love to have you with us.
our thanks to Mr. Louis 2K, who I don't thank enough for all of his hard work with our theme songs. He's amazing. He does all of them, people. He sends them to me and I use them. He's fantastic. We also want to point you to daytimeconfidential.com. They were the ones that have on their front page all the good GL stories and links. They have a lot of great information, a lot of really inside information.
Yeah, they're getting, they're getting some lot, and they cover every soap.
They cover every soap.
And they get a lot of scoop.
So go to daytimeconfidential.com. Also, you know we are spoiler free here for the most part. So if you want your spoilers, you go, you check out AMC Super Poster. You can find his spoilers at daytimeconfidential.com, or you can go to his MySpace page, which is www.myspace.com/superposteroftheyear. He is the man. I gotta ask him. I thought I saw his picture on the spoiler page.
Did he look like Agnes Nixon?
He was adorable. This person was adorable.
Did he look like Agnes Nixon?
he might have resembled her. He might have had her coloring.
Super Poster is the son of Nixon.
He's amazing. All right, people. Thank you again for joining us. It started out a little melancholy for us, but we
hope, and it's still a little melancholy.
It is a little melancholy.
I'll miss
but
you, Gaudy
I'm feeling
light.
Better. I hope we've lifted your spirits a
you
little bit.
You did lift my spirits, but I'm going to miss you, Gaudy Light.
Miss you, Gaudy Light. We love you. And in honor of our guiding night, here's a little light just for you.
Well, well, well. Look at this. The cripple and the tramp have cleared the place out. What do you know about that, huh? What do you think about that, huh, Reba?
I think that I am tired of this. I have given you everything. I have groveled. I've taken your orders. I've given you love and understanding. I've given you the best doctor's money can buy, and none of it satisfied you. None of it! I think there's only one thing that's going to make you happy. One thing you want more than anything else in this world, and that's to catch me being unfaithful to your daddy. Well, that's just fine with me, bud. You want me to be a slut? Oh, I'll be a slut. Old Reva's nothing if she ain't obliging. There. Oh, wait a minute. You just hold on to your seat, sweetie, because this is gonna be good. Music, please. Oops, no musicians. Whatever Joshua wants, Joshua gets. Here she is, folks. Reva Shane Lewis. Tramp. Adulteress. Scarlet woman. How am I doing, bud? Huh? Oh, this isn't enough, huh? Okay. Well, we can't disappoint little Joshua now, can we? I baptize myself the slut of Springfield! Isn't that right, Joshua? Isn't that what you want? Well, go on. You go on and call everybody out here. Get them all out here. You have them come out and watch me. The more, the merrier. Oh, what's wrong, Joshua? Don't you like this?
And get the hell out of here.
Why? Why, Joshua? Isn't this fun? Don't you enjoy this? You look at me like I'm naked all the time. Like I don't have a heart or a brain. All your dirty little mind sees is my body. Come on, Joshua. Here it is. You take a look. You take a